pastor who was showed up, and he had razor cuts on his face, and he explained to the congregation, because he just had all these splotches and white pieces of toilet paper all over his face, and he said, "I'm sorry that I look so terrible. I was shaving, and I was really focused on my sermon, and that's what happened." And the service went on. Nobody really seemed to pay any attention. But there was a note that he found in the offering plate at the end. And it said, "Pastor, cut your sermon, not your face." And maybe you would say that to me today. I don't know. But I know that lunch is on your mind like it's on my mind. And we'll slip down there and eat in a moment. But the first word that I would say is wow. We are now 2 years old. We're toddlers, exploring and engaging the world around us as we are developing and maturing as a living being. I don't know if you've ever thought about that we are a living being. We are an organism. We are an organization. We are a body, the body of Christ, that works from this place out into the community. Now, if you've ever had a two-year-old, or if you've ever been around one, you may know some of the characteristics of this age. Unlimited curiosity, independence, developing vocabulary. Sometimes they pick up your vocabulary and share it at all the wrong times. Explosive tantrums, biting, rapid physical growth, and did I mention tantrums? A few other things here about what to do for two-year-olds. If you look at a list of things that you can do to help keep the terrible twos from coming. And how many of you have been successful with that? It's difficult. But they say to establish healthy habits and routines. To childproof your house. And that would continue beyond 2 years. Set limits on your children. Instead of giving them five boxes of cereal to pick from, just say, "You have two choices and here they are." And good luck with that. One article I read about two-year-olds focused in on the new eating habits and the needs of two-year-olds. They say to prevent feeding problems, teach your child to feed himself as early as possible. Provide him with healthy choices and allow experimentation. Now, I would put a disclaimer on that little part right there, as far as experimentation goes. But mealtime should be enjoyable and pleasant and not a source of struggle. And that's probably the best way to approach a two-year-old in eating. But as I was reading all of this about what are two-year-olds like and what do they do? Because I just remember from my own son being 2 years old and knocking out a tooth while Jenny was out of town. Actually, it was his front tooth that didn't grow back for five more years. And we had the tooth that was stuck in a bench that he fell on in his sister's bathroom. And I'll never forget the moment when Jenny arrived for being out of town. But as I think about two-year-olds and try to remember what that is like, I thought of how all of this relates to two-year-old churches as well. I mean, what kind of characteristics do two-year-old churches have? Well, it is a time of vital growth and development, both of which are dependent on eating the right things and eating in the right ways and at the right times. Two-year-olds just eat whenever they want to eat, but they're taking in all of this food and they're growing. And isn't this what Jesus is saying to the disciples in the scripture that we've just heard from John 15? As we celebrate the two-year birthday of our church, I can't help but think of the valuable directions that Jesus has provided, not only for the disciples back then, but for us today. And where we go in the coming year. I think John 15 is really our text that we could stay with it all year. And don't worry, I won't do that every Sunday. But there's so much here for us to reflect on as disciples of today. In fact, I would like to present you with a plan for this next year from these words of Jesus. One that will help us avoid the terrible twos. And just to keep things simple, I'm calling this the 3B plan. If you have a better name, please tell me. I am terrible naming things. As we find three important characteristics in John 15 to develop for us in this next year. And you'll see that on the insert in your bulletin as well as up here. There are three, and they all run together. But I want to begin with the one that I think is the foundational part of all of this. Because you see, belonging, becoming, and bearing. And they are all three in John chapter 15. You have to work really hard to make a B out of all three, but it is possible. This morning, on this anniversary of our birth as a church, I think it is only fitting that we begin with belonging, because that is where life begins. Jesus stressed the importance of belonging and did it with a powerful visual as he stood with a vine and branches. And it is thought that Jesus was standing with the disciples in a vineyard. It wasn't a Baptist vineyard. They didn't have Baptist grapes out there. It was a real vineyard. And he had a vine with branches in his hand, or was within pointing range of a vineyard. He could look over his shoulder and get his disciples' attention and point over to a vine and branches. And as he explained all of this to them, he shared with them some of the most powerful truths of living that they would ever hear. He kept it simple, yet profoundly deep. He said to them that he was the vine and they were the branches. They belonged to him, and therefore they belonged to God. God had sent him into the world to be the source of life, full of eternal and abundant life, able to produce not only branches, but with an endless supply of fruit. And this was God's plan for the world. God intended for it to work like a vine and branches. And it would happen as people became aware that they belonged to God and as they lived with an attachment to Jesus Christ and to his teachings. Jesus referred to this abiding relationship as love. And if you notice there in your bulletin or in your Bible, he says, "Now remain in my love." Yesterday at the Alexander's wedding, we talked a lot about love and the significance of love, and looked at love throughout the Bible. From the moment that God created all the way until today, we see a special kind of love that continues on. And it is this agape kind of love that Jesus continues to mention. It is the one that's in chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible, where love is kind, love is patient, and all of those other things that describe love in a way that is self-sacrificing and lay down your life kind of love. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Now remain," or "abide," or "stay there right in the midst of my love." And he says, "This is the same love that God has had for me, and so I have it for you." These disciples didn't belong anywhere else except out on the coast fishing somewhere, or just kind of pushed away in the poverty of their existence. Until now. Now they belong to God. Now they come to an understanding that they have always belonged to God. And it is through Jesus. In a story titled, "Picking Your Parents." Don't you wish you could do that? "Adult adoption creates new bond." The author notes that adult adoptions appear to be rising in America. Some of these adoption arrangements seem odd, but this trend also points to our deep yearning for connection, for belonging and stability, and for intimacy. Chuck Johnson, president and CEO of the National Council for Adoption, said, "No matter how old you are, you never lose the desire for a family." Isn't that true? We never lose the desire for a connection to a father or to a mother, for belonging to someone. There is that craving within us to belong. And on this second anniversary of our church, I believe God wants us to remember that we belong to him as a church and as individuals within the church. As we hear these words of Jesus today, this belonging is not in the sense that God owns us in the way of a possessive husband or a wife or a consumer that gets an object and says, "This is mine and no one else is going to take it." Although we can understand that kind of emotion coming from God as Father. It is that we were made for relationship with God. Each and every one of you have been made not only in the image of God, but for relationship with God. And though we may not feel like we belong anywhere else in this world, We belong to God. We belong with God. And this belonging is discovered in a couple of ways. First, we must see that we are branches. When was the last time you thought of yourself as a branch? I mean, this was a kind of a new concept for them. Okay, you're the vine, I'm the branches. Churches can so easily become the selfish toddler who thinks the world revolves around him or her, experimenting with independence and striving for control of the world around them. We must not become one of those churches. Maybe you've been in one of those churches that acts like a toddler. There are tantrums taking place all over. Kind of like in the grocery store when a child is wanting that candy bar and just melts right there in front of everyone. And usually the parent gives in and gives them the candy bar. I don't think that's the way it works with God. And God doesn't want it to work that way with us. We must remain as a branch. And yes, we have grown in many visible ways in the last 2 years, gaining measurable maturity. But the existence and the vitality of our branches come not from ourselves, but from the vine, from Jesus the vine. Have you seen Jesus at work here in the church? Have you seen life coming from him into individuals and into the life of our body as well as out into the community? No? Have you seen it? And it comes from understanding that we exist not for ourselves, but for the vine. If we ever get to that point where we think we exist for ourselves, somebody needs to say something. If I ever get to that point where I think the church exists to just grow in stature and be able to collect a bunch of stuff and things and people and projects and to cease to exist for the community, we've missed the point. We've always said, even from day one, that we want to be the kind of church that if it disappeared, someone would notice. I think they would notice if Church for the Highlands wasn't here, if you weren't there serving and doing the things that you do. But second, God intends for us to remain in our attachment to Jesus. He intends for us to be remainders, seeking deeper connection to him, instead of looking and trying to find independence. Jesus makes it clear to us that there is no life or purpose for branches that are disconnected and are apart from him. So we need to understand that we belong to God. But we also find that we not only belong to God, we belong to each other. And I guess that I could have said that we can belong to one another, but whether we want to or not, whether we realize it fully or not, we do belong to one another. God has made us out of all the same stuff. They were branches, not just one branch. We see this reality addressed here in verses 5 through 8 as Jesus emphasized their need to love one another. They were branches connected to the vine. And they were to exist together in a special, an organic, you know they used the word organic back then, interconnected, interdependent relationship with each other on the vine. And this way was the way that Jesus used to describe the kind of church that they would need to be. At this point, they're just thinking they're a ragtag group of people following after this rabbi. Jesus is forming and transforming them to be the church of the future. And the secret to such connection to each other was the nutrients of love that were derived from their connection to Jesus. Have you ever been a part of one of those flash mobs? Anybody? For a while, they were all the rage. They were going viral on YouTube and catching us off guard at the mall or the grocery store. I was in Barnes & Noble one time, and all of these people came out of nowhere and began to dance and to sing in a bookstore. Just didn't seem to work too well. Author Ed Stetzer mentioned the phenomenon in a blog post, providing insight into our need for belonging. And he comments, "As technology has evolved, so has our style for the unexpected. Today, the flash mob creates the unexpected convergence of disparate people for a united and unified activity. People receive instructions by text, by email, and chat rooms. They practice choreography alone or in a small group of friends in preparation for the big event. And then it happens," he says. "To the unsuspecting crowd in a mall or a train station, a park or a street, a single person begins to sing or dance. Then as others join the planned spontaneity, a crowd transforms into a community on mission. But it is a fleeting sense. For an hour or maybe the whole day, the flash mob participant has been a part of something larger. They were, if only for a few minutes, a member of a community. As we move into our third year of life, we must focus on what it means to be a part of a community, what it means to belong to one another for more than just a fleeting moment, but for the rest of our lives. We must come to an understanding, especially on a sleepy Sunday morning, as we debate with ourselves, and I know that you do, about whether or not it is worth it to get up and go to church. I'll confess, sometimes I feel that too. Still praying for that evening schedule to come back. We must remind each other, though, of the responsibility that we branches have to hold each other up with support and with encouragement to stay connected to Jesus the vine. That's one of the reasons we come together as a church. We must be the kind of branches that are receptive to God's love and conductive of its flow to other branches. We've already heard in our Thanksgiving time of how that flow has taken place. Do you have that sense of flow in your life? Well, along these same lines, we're to belong to the church. So not only belonging to each other, but to the church. Jesus addressed the people around him as a group, as his followers, as the church to be. In verses 16 and 17, as you see there, he provided a kind of commission to go and to bear good and lasting fruit in the world, to be a part of the team. Note that he didn't give individual calls, although each one of them had a unique contribution to make. But they were to go and be as a group of branches. Apart from their connection to him and to each other, they could do nothing. They would find this out after Jesus would be crucified on the cross and as they would scatter as far away as they possibly could in the streets of Jerusalem. And then as they would move beyond there into other places in the uttermost parts of the earth, they knew that they had to exist together as branches. And they would work at this and struggle with this, but this was always to be how they were to operate. And the same thing is true for us today. We must know the necessity and power of belonging to the church. Jesus knew that his ministry must continue, that his life must be passed on to others in order to produce an entire harvest in this world. We are his branches of today, intertwining with his love for each other and for the world, producing healthy fruit to a very starving world that's around us. Belonging to the church is belonging to its mission, I have found. And that is especially true right here at Church for the Highlands. We are here to produce an abundant crop of loving actions to our neighborhood and thus to our world. What we do right here in Highland will affect people who live all around the world. We can make a difference right here. And as our founding a purpose statement says, we exist to bless the Highland neighborhood. We are here to provide a blessing to others with the love of Jesus. And we do that through community partnerships, like Volunteers of America, Community Renewal, and 5 or 10 other organizations that work for the good of this community. We want to collaborate. And we've seen that most recently and most significantly with the 7 churches in this area that have said, we want to do something about hunger in our community. And if you ever doubted it, come on a Thursday night and watch the children from afar. Watch them eat and see the hunger that is there. It's drawing people and we're doing something about it. It's collaboration. It is partnership. Well, what is our harvest of fruit to look like? Some of the fruit I have already seen hanging off the branches of this church are at-risk children getting help with homework and learning to read in order to make it in this world. Senior adults who are getting a nutritious meal delivered at home or twice a week right here with Volunteers of America. Children who are getting clothes that they aren't ashamed to wear to school. Emotionally and physically wounded veterans who have so faithfully served our country, who are getting back on their feet. working moms and dads who can't always make ends meet, who are getting a hot, nutritious, free meal every Thursday night. Connections with other branches and faiths and collaboration and sharing God's love. And most recently, the provision of financial services for people who most banks see as complete risks rather than investments. I see the fruit of people hearing the good news of Jesus, resting in the grace and in the unconditional love God has for them. The fruit born from worshiping together each Sunday also gathers on our branches, does it not? As the connection to the vine becomes stronger with each hymn and with each chorus and with each scripture reading and each testimony of thanksgiving. I see people in our church truly living out Acts 2 fellowship and community as they share life and their worldly goods with one another. And that happens every week. That true sense of fellowship. I see the convergence of black, white, brown coming together to blend into a heavenly hue. I see poor and rich, gay and straight, right and left, young and old, churched and unchurched, all living in community together right here in this church. And it's amazing. I will tell you, I've never seen anything like it in the life of a church. There's also the fruit that comes from people, children, youth, adults in our Sunday school classes who are studying Scripture together week after week. Yes, a walk around our vineyard shows an abundance and variety of fruit. And there is much more of this bee to be. God has more fruit to come from us in this next year. There is constantly fruit to be born right outside these doors. Gandhi, a student of Jesus and his teachings, once said, "A small body of determined spirits, fired by an unquenchable faith in their mission, can alter the course of history." As we look ahead at another year for us, may we see it as one where we, belonging to God and to each other, and to the church, alter the course of history. Can we do it? Amen. We must do it. Let us pray. Our God, we give you thanks today.